It is my joy to welcome you to today's podcast. Our prayer is that the Lord will minister to you in a special way during our time together.
Such a privilege to just be able to come and just share all that God is doing with us, all that God is doing with my family, and just to share God's heart with all of you. This morning, even as we get into the Word, I just want to give you a little introduction. We're going to be talking about a very, very important topic. I call it the fear of God. And I want us to just open our hearts and just understand that there is this aspect of God, you know, and that is where we fear Him. We all have secrets. How many of us have secrets? You know, we don't go about talking about, you know, our bank balance, our finances, the one that we've given our heart to. We don't share these kind of details with everybody and anybody. These are things that are reserved for very, very few select people. And so, just like we have this nature within ourselves, God has a very, very special characteristic or a very special nature, and that is called the fear of the Lord. When we look at the word in Psalms chapter 25, verse 14, Psalms 25, verse 14, it says something so powerful. It says, "The secrets of the Lord are for those who fear Him." Amen? The secrets of the Lord are for those who fear Him. When we look across the city of Hyderabad, of Telangana, of Mumbai, we'll see thousands and thousands and thousands of people who on a Sunday morning are following Christ, are in church, are Bible in hand. They have come to the house of God. They want to praise God, worship God. But you see, out of all the millions of people out there, there will be a small section of people who God will open His heart to. A small section of people who go beyond understanding not just the regular parables, not just the regular things that are mentioned in the Bible, the Gospels and all these things. All those are spectacular, and I'm not kind of watering it down. But, you know, when it comes to the deeper mysteries, the deeper secrets of God. The Old Testament is called the secrets of God. The New Testament, it's called the mysteries of God. And so in the book of Ephesians, it says, the mystery of Christ and His body, the church. It says the mystery of godliness. The mysteries, you know, the mystery. It's not for all of us. It's for the elite, special, if I may say so, the task force that is called the ones that fear God. Amen. And so we must be a people who are part of that group, a part of that elite group that fears God. Psalms 25, verse 12. Who is the one who fears the Lord? He will instruct him the way that he should go. The book of Isaiah says, you will hear a voice behind your ears telling you this is the way to go. Amen. There is, when God can come to a place where He can trust us, He will open up and He will start speaking to us. He will tell us which way to go, the left and the right, and, you know, what is the vocation that we must take, who is the girl that we must get married to, who is the person that we have to get married to, which country we should migrate to. All these secrets, all these little things that we are so desperately waiting for, all these secrets are out there for us if and only if we become a people who understand the fear of God. And when I say fear of God, please don't think it is a fear where you are shivering or where you are cowing down because you see someone like a horror film. No, that's not the fear that we are talking about. We're talking about a fear which is out of awe. A fear that comes out of absolute reverence, which we see in the book of Isaiah chapter 6. You see, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. I'm a prophet for the first five chapters. But suddenly in chapter 6, I am this prophet who has seen the Lord. And the next thing he says is, woe is unto me. Man, when I look at God, everything about me looks sinful. Everything about me looks like, oh my gosh, there is so much more I have to do, I have to be, to become like Jesus. Amen. And so that is the fear that we are talking about. We're talking about reverence for God, honor and a respect that we have for God. So if you look at Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, which is a very, very popular scripture. We usually hang it outside our doors, these little wooden plaques, which say, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You go into some of these homes, we have Christian surnames, and we walk in and we say, oh, they have a beautiful plaque outside which says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It must be a Christian house. Go inside, would you like something to drink? There is scotch, there is some whiskey. And you're wondering, which part of this is the real, the person? But anyway, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is like we... I'll give you a simple example. I sent my daughter for music class. She was little. And I thought she had some good talent. So we sent her to music class. And we sent her to this really expensive teacher who would charge a big deal of money. And that evening when she came back home, I said, did you learn something? She said, yes. I said, can you sing something? And she went, do, re, mi. I said, no, sing me a song that the teacher taught you. No, Dada, I just got learned, they just taught me do, re, mi. 1 month later, many more sessions later, lots of money later, I asked her, can you sing me a song now? And she goes, do, re, mi, fa, so. I said, no, where is the song? What happened with the song? She said, no, Dada, they're teaching us do, re, mi in school right now. I called the teacher. I said, listen, we're paying a lot of money and all she's singing is do, re, mi. The teacher said, if she gets do, re, mi, she will get all the songs. If your son gets 1, 2, 3, he will become the engineer that you want him to become. If he learns ABC, he will be able to read and write all the literature, all the Shakespeare that you want him to read. But it begins with the do, re, mi, with the 1, 2, 3, with the ABC. Are you with me? We want to walk in signs, wonders, and miracles. We want to be a people that are experiencing the presence of God, that tangible anointing, and we want to, all these big, big words, as Christians that we keep hearing from different people. Oh, the thick presence of God, the cloud has come down, all these things. Where does it all begin? It all begins with this simple do re mi, which in the book of Proverbs, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You don't take God for granted. My mom would tell me many a times, even when I was not so bad, she would say, don't take the forgiveness and the love of God for granted. Do, re, mi. The 1, 2, 3s, the ABCDs. And so we must be a people that will take as a body of Christ, we must be a people that will take this fear of God for real. There was one person the Bible talks about who lived on this earth. He was a man who feared God. The Bible says he had absolute victory over all sins. He was a man who never sinned. He was a man who walked in absolute victory over sin. And his name is Jesus. You and I, we know about Jesus, but here's something that the Bible teaches us about Jesus. In the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. I want us to look at it. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. It says, Jesus in the days of his flesh, when he offered prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And God heard him. Because, can you see that? Is it clear? Because of his... Come on, I come from a very noisy church. My church is possibly this section here in terms of crowd. But I come from a noisy church, so I would like some response. with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And God heard him because of his godly fear. Hallelujah. This is what it's, listen, it's his son. God's son. In eternity, they have had a relationship. Before the beginning of time itself, they've had a relationship. But he comes to earth. And when he comes to earth, night after night after night, we read in the Bible, he would go up on the mountain, sit in the presence of the Father. What's he doing up on a mountain? Let me just show you this picture. I learned this about a year ago, and I'm telling you, my prayer life changed, and I hope that it does something for you. The Bible says, Jesus in the days of his flesh, the 33 and a half years that he was on this earth, in the days of his flesh, he offered prayers on that mountaintop, which is, you know, Lord, bless me, bless my children, bless my family, bless my finances, bless my job, bless my boss, kill my boss, whatever. That's your prayers. Amen. But then there is, it says, and supplications. Supplications is when you have specific prayers. Something that is important to you, and you bring it before God, and the word, and it says, you supplicate before God. That specific prayer. And the Bible says here, he made prayers and supplications. While he said, kill my boss. Well, no, he didn't say that. Bless, bless, bless all these people, my disciples, all these things. He said, Lord, I want you to get this. There is a supplication I'm bringing before you. What is that supplication he brought before God? The Bible says out here in Hebrews 5, 7, it says that God would save him from death. Are we all seeing this? That God would save him from death. Now, you and I know that Jesus did die. But we also know that all the prayers of Jesus were always answered. Amen? Can we say amen to that? Every prayer of Jesus was answered because he was sinless. There was nothing between God and him that would stop him. And so everything that he prayed for would always be answered by God. And here it says, he prayed with loud cries. You know, I mean, just imagine Jesus on a mountaintop. I mean, you know, I'm a photographer, so I see a lot of pictures. Whenever I read the Bible, there are visuals that come for me. And, you know, I just see Jesus on his knees on a mountaintop, and he's beating his chest and he's crying. Loud cries and tears. He's beating his chest and he's crying. And what is he crying for? What is he praying for? He's not praying for a breakthrough. He's not praying for financial turnarounds. He's not praying for marriage. I mean, yes, all those are great points for us to pray for. But he was praying for something that was far more bigger than any of this. And can I tell you, what is that? Keep me away from sin. Keep me away from sin. We must, as God's people, we must be a people that understand sin is bigger than cancer. If I say someone's got cancer, all of us will be praying. If I say he's fallen into sin, oh, I always knew. But here's what it is. Jesus is praying, and when he's praying specifically. He's saying, God, keep me away from sin, because for eternity we've had a relationship. We've not even for a fraction of a second you've been away. I don't want death to come into my life. What is that death? It's not physical death. He was not afraid of physical death. He took on the cross. The Bible talks about spiritual death. That's the death that he was praying against. You say, I don't want spiritual death. I want to have intimacy with you. I want to have a relationship with you where I will constantly be seeing, constantly be hearing the voice of God all the days of my life. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 11, so beautiful the scripture, Isaiah chapter 11, if I'm not mistaken, verse 1 to 3, speaks about the Spirit of God and the seven dimensions of the Spirit of God. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 to 3. And it says about Jesus, the root of Jesse. It says prophetically, it says the Spirit of God will rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom, counsel, the Spirit of understanding. You know, and it comes, it brings it to an end, and it says, and the fear of God will be upon him. The fear of God. That is what made Jesus who he is. Listen, when we look at this whole thing, that his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. That's what the last verse says. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 3. It says, the delight of God himself would be the fear of God. I want us to get this, which is why I'm stressing on this one scripture so much. That we would understand that if Jesus needed it, he will delight in the fear of the Lord. If Jesus needed to fear God, how much more you and I? How much more we must stop taking the love of God, the forgiveness of God for granted, beloved? How much more when we willfully go out there and say, I know it is a sin, but what to do? I had to do it. We will know that, hey, that's not how we should be doing it. You know, and then the next day we are like, Pastor, I don't hear God. I don't know what happened. Let me tell you what happened. No one's saying amen to that. Amen. And so we must be a people that will fear God. We must be a people that will stand in the presence of God crying and saying, Lord, I want to be one who will fear you. The Bible says, and I want to just read the scripture for you in the book of James, James chapter 1. Verse 13, the Bible says, God cannot be tempted. Just trying to prove to you that he was fully man, took down that beautiful crown as the creator of the universe. Book of Philippians chapter 2, it says, he took down his crown and he came down on earth, fully man. Bible also says that God cannot be tempted. So he was fully man who lived on this earth. Please get this. Fully man, lived on this earth without sin. And because he lived on this earth without sin, he could tell us, follow me. Follow me. You want to have a relationship with God? You want to have access to the Father? You want to hear what the Father is saying? You want to hear the heart of God, the very heartbeat of God? It's all available to you, church. What's the secret? Follow me. What did I do? I cried before the Father to keep me away from spiritual death. Keep me away from anything that will take away his presence from my life. And so he prayed, he cried, he made those supplications before the Father. And because he did this, he had access. And he said, when he said, follow me, he said, the very Spirit of God that is upon me can now be upon you. Hallelujah. John chapter 14. Here's a beautiful scripture that, again, is such a beautiful one for us to learn. Jesus says, this is, you know, the Last Supper. He's talking to his disciples. At that point of time, Jesus says something so beautiful. He says, verse 15, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Simple. If you love me, keep my commandments. Do you hear God saying that to you? All of us. If you love me, keep my commandments. And the disciples are like, God, we would love to. I say that. I don't know if you say that. I would love to. What are the commandments? Thou shalt not lust. Stop loving money. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, make your request known to the Lord. Oh, don't gossip. Don't do this, don't do that. And I'm like, God, how do I keep this? I want to, but I can't stay away from it. There are times when I slip and I fall into temptation. I fall into all these things. What should I do, God? And Jesus, in the very next verse, he says, I will speak to the Father and he will give you a helper. I will speak to the, can we have that scripture here? John 14 verse 16. I will speak to the Father and he will give you a helper. When you look at those two scriptures together, you're like, what is God trying to say out here? If you love me, keep my commandments. I will speak to the Father and he'll... There's no connection. But when you meditate on that, you get the connection that if I have to keep the commandments, I will need the Holy Spirit. Just like Jesus needed the Spirit of God to help him. Just like Jesus needed the Holy Spirit to empower him. That Holy Spirit is available to you and to me. And he is available for anyone who wants to ask him to come into his life. And what is beautiful is, it says out here, okay, I don't know. I will speak to the Father and he will send you the Holy Spirit. Not because of your prayer, but because of his prayer. Are we getting this? It's not because I prayed. You know, that would be a feather in my cap. I prayed and I got the Holy Spirit. But no. He says, I will speak to the Father and he will. Not he may, not he can. He says, he will give you the Holy Spirit. The day you ask Jesus into your life, he will give you the Holy Spirit. He will empower you to suddenly start hating sin. To walk away from anything that's evil, sinful, whatever he's asking you to do. And you will be empowered because the Holy Spirit is with you. The Bible begins with the book of Genesis. Amen? Amen. Right at the back, amen. The Bible begins with the book of Genesis. And when we look at the book of Genesis, there is the story of a man where the word fear comes for the first time. So it'll be good for us to just have a look at it. So if we turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 22, Genesis chapter 22 tells us this story, this amazing story of this man. Let me just give you a little background to what is being spoken out here. Here is the story of this man named Abraham. God tells him, Abraham, leave your land, leave your family, leave everything that you have and come to a land that I will show you. And Abraham comes. Trusts God. Trusts in the voice of God that he's heard. Knows this is God's voice. And he obeys God. And then one day, God comes up to him and tells him, Abraham, next year. He tells Abraham next year, next season. To Sarah, he says, next year. He says, you will be with child. And by the time that child comes, Abraham is 100. He's been waiting. The child has become precious. The child, the promised child has come. And over the years, you know, theologians, the Bible scholars, the ones who know more, they say that he was at least 13 to 14 by the time what I'm about to share with you really happens. Genesis 22, the Bible goes on to tell us that one day, Abraham hears God. Or one night. And God says, Abraham, take your son and bring him to a mountain that I will show you. To the place that I will show you. And when you bring him there, I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. Abraham's like, Lord, Isaac. Isaac, take something else. Isaac, God, Sarah, all the men are laughing. Take Isaac. If you look at that scripture, verse 2, Genesis 22, he says, take now your son, the one that you love, your only son. After 100 years, you have one son, your only son, the one that you love. There is no doubt in my heart that you love him. But here's what I'm saying. I want him. I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. And Abraham takes him, and I will fast forward this part so that I can get into the details later. Takes this child, goes up on the mountain, pulls out that dagger. He's put his son on the altar, and he's about to kill the son. When he's about to kill the son, as a sacrifice, the Bible says, and there came a voice. The Lord spoke to him, the angel of the Lord, the Bible says, the angel of the Lord spoke to him and said, now I know. Amen. Verse 12, he says, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you, come on, that you fear God. The first time the word fear is coming. Can I also tell you something? That's the first time the word worship comes in our Bible. When Abraham tells his servants who have walked with him for those 3 days, says, wait here for the lad and I will go yonder, up on the mountain. We will worship God and we will come back. If I may say so, worship is far bigger than the song and the dance that we can indulge in. Worship is far bigger than us just going and, you know, some fast music and we are dancing, and then we always have this debate, David danced in the presence of the Lord. Yes, we should do all of that. We should do all of that by all means. But far bigger than us dancing in the presence of God is worship in our sacrifice. Usually it gets quiet at this point of time, so I'm quite used to this. You can say amen if you want to. It's a good time actually. Amen. Worship is far bigger than all these things that we put out there and say, oh, I got the latest song. It's Hillsong. It's this song. It's that song. All these songs. Listen, there is something far greater than all of this. The same perfect man who lived victorious. Let me show you something from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, that precious book that many people avoid. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 6 onwards. Just about four verses, but very, very powerful verses. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 onwards. My apologies. It says, therefore, when Jesus came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. And then he goes on to give you the secret. He says, but a body you have prepared for me. Have you heard that line, my body, my choice? That's what he's saying. My body, my choice. That's what the world says. If you feel good, go for it. If it feels okay, do it. He's saying, sacrifices and offerings you do not desire. God, what do you desire, God? What do you want from me then? You don't want any money. You don't want anything else. You don't want sacrifices. You don't want offerings. What do you want, God? God says, a body you have prepared for me. And he goes on to say, and in this body, verse 7, then he says, behold, I have come according to the volume of the book. It is written of me. What have I come? What did Jesus come for? To save us from our sins. What did he come for? Also to teach us how to stay without sin. How do we stay without sin? I have come to do. Can we read that together? Like we do in Sunday school, but let's just do it. I have come to do your will, my God. When somebody cuts the car, and I have the choicest English vocabulary that I want to use, God says, shut up, forgive, move on. But God, he didn't. Shut up, move on. And I say, I have come to do your will. And I tell you, in the middle of Ring Road, you have just worshipped. In the middle of that traffic, you have just worshipped. Because I have come to do your will. And that is what God is expecting from you and from me. Can I give God my house? Of course you can give your house. Can I give God money? Of course you can give money. Can I give him my job, my dream, my ambition? All these things. Of course you can give everything. But it begins with me. A body you have given me. That's why the book of Romans says, Romans 12, verse 1, says, I beseech you. You know what Apostle Paul is saying? I'm begging you in modern English. I'm begging you. By the mercies of God, offer yourself. Just yaar kar de yaar. Just do it. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Just offer it. Just don't hold back. Just offer. Give yourself to the Lord. And so, beloved, we must be this people. Let's look at Abraham. Let's go fast forward. Look at Abraham's life and just a couple of points that I want to share with you. Here's what it says. When when God spoke to Abraham and told him, Abraham, I want you to offer your son. The first thing Abraham did, he offered what was precious. He offered what was most precious to him. Not Sarah, not Isaac, not Ishmael, but the one that he loved the most, the one that God underlined in the Bible with a highlighter and said, your son, your only son, the one that you love, Isaac, if there is any doubt, offer him. Amen. Subi, offer your body, the body that you love, the one body that you have. God's saying, offer. I want to encourage you, offer. Offer, because there will always be a second house that you can give God. Oh, Pastor, I gave my home for Jesus and I got my second home for Jesus. Let me not talk about that. There will always be a second job. There will always be a second car. There is only one Subi. And so God says, offer that which is precious. The second point, he says, offer, respond to whatever God says immediately. You've heard that line, delayed obedience is disobedience. Have you heard that before? Psalms, the psalmist said so beautifully, Psalms 119, verse 60, if I'm not mistaken, verse 60. He says, I make haste and delay not to keep your commandments. The Bible says, God spoke to Abraham, and second verse says, early next morning, Abraham saddled his donkey. No negotiation, no time to waste. God said it, I will do it. Early next morning, may we be a church that does this, beloved. That we would be a people that will not wait. God, confirm it. God, do it again. Show it to me that it is you. If it is your voice, I want to hear it again. No. He's saying, God, you have spoken. If it is not God's voice, God knows how to take care of it. I'll obey. And he takes his son. I doubt if he actually even discussed it with Sarah. He takes his son and he goes up on that mountain. The Bible says, which is my next point, verse 4. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and he saw the place at a distance. Looking. Day 1, he's walking with his son. Day 2, he's walking with his son. Day 3, you know, sometimes I am making the decision right now to regret 2 days later. God says, I don't want your impulse. I want your obedience. I don't want you to just take your son out to the field and just kill him. No. I'm giving you a time frame. I'm giving you a choice so that when you have made up your mind, when you are walking with your only son, the one that you love, the Isaac in your life, when you are walking for those 3 days, Abraham, you can choose. Is this the son? Is this God really worth it? Is this God worth me actually killing the son that I was waiting all my lifetime for? Day 3, Abraham comes to that conclusion. My God is worth it. Worth every Isaac in my life. Some of us are giving up God for far more smaller things like girlfriends and boyfriends. Yes, Abraham. I am willing to give what is most precious to me unto the Lord. And he offers his son as a sacrifice. Let's not negotiate with God. You know, God's word says so beautifully, Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. If you lean on your understanding, you will fall flat on your face. You hear God, let's just do it. Amen. The last point, keep your sacrifice a secret. Don't play martyr. In other words, modern English. The Bible says, Abraham went up on the mountain. He didn't tell his servants where he's going. He said, we are going to worship. Comes back, doesn't discuss that he actually went up on the mountain for the biggest test of his life. He just, you know, smiles at them, says, we finished worshiping, let's go. And may we be a people like that. You know, who find our Mount Moriahs where we can offer our most precious sacrifices. And then when we are done with that sacrifice, we can just quietly move on with our life without making a big hue and cry about it. I pray that over all of us. Amen. This story, very quickly, this story goes forward to a couple of thousand years later. And then we see that same story in 2 Chronicles, chapter 3, verse 1. Now here's Solomon. And Solomon is just about to build a temple. And when he's about to build the temple, God speaks to Solomon and says, Solomon, I know you have all this land. You're the richest king in the world. You have all the land and you can choose the prime location for the temple. But I don't want the temple in the prime location. God, where do you want the temple? I want that temple to come up on. Come on. Can we say that with a lot more confidence? You're reading it. On. What happened at Mount Moriah, God? My son offered his most precious. My son gave whatever I asked him. And then it goes on to say, if you go a little further in this scripture, then Solomon began to build the temple of God in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where he met with his father David. And you look at it and you say, God, when did you meet David on Mount Moriah? What is that story all about? There is this whole story about how the plague of death was all over the land of Israel. And the angel of death had come out there because of a sin that David had committed. 2 Samuel chapter 24 verse 18 is what we are going to look at. You see, what happens is the angel of death is killing people out there. Families are being destroyed. You know, widows are being created out of the blue because of one man's sin. And in the midst of that, David is repentant. He cries out and says, God, what should I do? And the prophet of the Lord comes and he says, offer a sacrifice on the field of Aruna, which is in Mount Moriah. And when he goes to that field of Aruna, the subject of David, he's just a citizen of David, comes and says, what does my king want? I want your land. I want to offer a sacrifice. He says, here's the wood, here's the cattle, here is the land. Do what you want to do. Take it all free. My land is free, my wood is free, my cattle is free. May the Lord be pleased with you, O mighty King. And King David says something very, very powerful. He says, no, but I will not offer to God that which has not cost me anything. I will not offer to God any free gifts. I'm not, verse 18, if I'm not mistaken, please. 2 Samuel 24, verse 18. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing. It has to cost. It has to cost. And Solomon says, this is where God wants to build the temple. Can I tell you something? Even today, the temple of God is built on the sacrifices of his people. There will be clubs. There will be a lot of communities. But the fire of God that marks the house of God, the presence of God, that, you know, when a worship leader just starts singing a song and suddenly the presence of the Lord comes, the presence of God comes into a place that is based on the foundation stones of sacrifice. Your life, my life, we want to see that presence of God in every situation of our life, beloved. Here's the secret. Secret dealings with God. Or if I may say so, secret transactions with God, which nobody knows about. No servant who's coming with the cattle. No servant who's carrying the weight. No. Nobody. Just God and me. Secret transactions. When you and I become a people who are willing to do secret dealings with God, he will lift us up in public. Otherwise, we can play Sunday to Sunday church. We can have a Bible tucked under our arm. We can look like a Christian, but we don't know God. And I want to encourage us as God's people in this city that we will be a people that will be marked by the presence of Jesus. All eyes shut, let's just pray. Just half a minute. Offer whatever you want to offer. Whatever the Lord is inviting you to at this point of time. You see, when we bow our heads, there is a voice that speaks to us. As a believer, that voice is your conscience. That is the voice of God telling you. You negotiate, you bargain, you've lost that opportunity. But if you obey, and if you're willing to humble yourself and say, God, whatever you want me to give up, I'm giving up today. My dreams, my ambitions, my children's dreams and ambitions. God, whatever I have planned, the migration plans and all these things, beloved, all these things, as we lay it before Him, He will be the one who will lift you up, and He will be the one that will take up that sacrifice as a gift. Let's speak to Him. Let His presence come.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily. Surrender all, Jesus, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Sing that one more time.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily.
Lift your hands.
And I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
Come on, tell Him that.
I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender.
We're asking that You will forgive us, Lord, for the thing we have made of worship. For Abraham, worship meant obedience. For Abraham, worship meant a sacrifice. Lord, we have made it a performance. We have made it all about us. We kind of feel it's a song. Father, help us to come before You in reverence and in worship and in godly fear. We pray, Lord, that You will help us to understand, to have a glimpse of the God we worship, that You'll teach us to stand in awe before You, God. Thank You for the word that has come to us, Lord. Help us to live our lives in reverence, in godly fear. Thank You for speaking. Thank You for Your servant. We're asking Your blessing, Lord, upon Your people this morning as we get to our week, that You bless each one of us. We love You, God. Thank You for saving us. Thank you for the life that flows through this body. This body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for taking time to listen. If you would like more information about our church or would like to make a comment, please mail us at info@newlifeag.in. God bless you.